It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Bonus Benson.
This segment is officially completely off the rails.
What are you talking about?
Stuff we wish never aired.
You know, I'm the talent.
Right, of course.
Except... I'm the talent.
Come on, man.
The Guy Benson Show.
Back on the Guy Benson Show. Total eclipse of the heart. Blasting on the broadcast. And a partial eclipse here in New York City. Which brings us to this Fox News alert. Eclipse Watch 24. We're all over it on the Guy Benson Show. And I will tell you, I can now report, ladies and gentlemen, that during the commercial break, I put on the glasses and I went over to the window and I looked up and, yeah, there it was. I saw it. The mostly eclipse. And it's dark. It's pretty dark in New York. That's true. That's cool, I guess. It's, you know, middle of the afternoon. It'll get light again. What with the eclipse and all. Let's get now live to our chief eclipse correspondent, producer Christine. Cookie is on the streets of New York City. Christine, how's it going down there? Tell us about the mood.
Well, oh my gosh, there's so many people out here right now, Guy, but I can't find it. I can find a reflection of it off of a building.
But what do you mean you can't find it? It's
I can't find it.
Look up. Put on the glasses and look up.
I'm trying to. I have Dan here because I'm standing in the middle of the street right now, and I don't want to get hit by a car.
Yeah, don't do that.
But so the only thing we can see is a people are looking at me now. The only thing I can see is a reflection off of a building window. But I don't think that's the right way to look, right?
I think you need to have the glasses on and look
them on.
Yeah, look directly at the sun.
Well, so that's a problem because I can't find the sun.
Hmm.
Nobody here can find the sun. We're trying to I think everybody's calling it a day. You can't find it.
All right, so maybe we made a mistake in selecting Cookie for this mission. Can't find the sun. I mean, I saw it out the window, maybe because we're higher up.
I think so. I mean, we are all just standing in the middle of a street, and I'm sure that's probably not. Hi, do you see it anywhere? Oh, I found it. I found it, Guy.
Oh.
Oh, I should. Oh,
put
thank you.
Glasses
oh God,
on.
One of the Fox producers just got me out of the street. I can see something.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, sun.
Well, Christine, if you want a better view, I just want to let you know, just as an FYI, our colleague Nate Foy is also covering this. He's at the USS Intrepid. So I wonder if you can, like, get over there real fast and just say, you know, ahoy to him.
Why didn't you tell me that earlier? And why am I not on the Intrepid right now with him?
Yeah. I mean,
to report.
I don't know. You're the producer of this show. That's
some
a question.
Day.
That is a question best directed to yourself, as a matter of fact.
I just can't believe I came all the way. I was so excited to do a report, and I don't. Oh, I see it. Okay, it's a very, very tiny, tiny little sliver. Dad, there's no cars coming, right?
Not yet.
We don't need Christine's demise live on the radio. She saw the partial eclipse, and then what she didn't see was the bus.
I mean, I don't think this is as exciting as the professor made it seem, but maybe down there it was a lot more fun. Everybody's left. This is so typical New York. You can't find it, so everybody just leaves.
Well,
like,
I mean,
they don't care.
Let's talk about the darkness, though, because as I glance over toward the windows,
it's a little chilly.
It looks like it would be, I don't know, evening time. Like, okay, it's like winter, and we're getting towards the end of the show. That's what it looks like out there, which is weird at this time of day in April.
Yes, that's exactly what it feels like. But this doesn't feel like, I mean, I guess some people are saying, I guess that's what totality is, right? It would be blackout, like dark.
Yes, we don't have totality. But you were saying that you were going to go down there and see totality. And I was like, no, they don't have that in New York.
Yeah, you were right. I had misinformation.
Imagine that.
You were definitely right. So I don't know. Like, everybody left.
Have you
this
gotten?
I see a little more. Oh yeah. Okay.
Do you have anything you can report to us about the dragons theory?
Oh, hold on. Dan just had to push me over from a car. No, I don't. But
okay.
Come on. What do you? You don't think this has anything? Can I please give you my theory on air?
You have like 30 seconds.
Okay. You really don't think the earthquake in New Jersey has anything to do with this? You
no.
think it just randomly one on a Friday and one on a Monday?
Yes. The earthquake is random. This has been predicted for many, many years. It's how it works. And I would say, as chief eclipse correspondent, you should know better, but you don't, which is actually why we gave you this assignment. For fun, Eclipse Watch 24 on The Guy Benson Show. Homestretch, Guy Benson Show. GuyBensonShow.com, podcast always free. Is this Melissa Etheridge? Is this Come to My Window on the broadcast? It is. I saw her this morning on Fox and Friends. She was at the Country Music Awards last night. We had some coverage of that event, so she did a quick interview with us. That is a classic. That's a great song. And if you're listening on the podcast, you're like, what are they talking about? Because we don't have the rights to the music. So you can't hear it on the podcast, only on the broadcast. In any case, we have to get serious because the most serious member of this team has returned. She was on assignment last week, and now she's back. Cookie, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Oh, thank you very much.
So we had this joke that you were on assignment. You weren't. You were actually on vacation. Often when you are sick or your daughter's sick or something, we claim that you're on vacation. Now you took a week off, and we said you were on assignment.
How do you know I wasn't? Ask me anything about this eclipse.
No, we did that earlier. We did it on the show. We did it on the planning call. You asked me if there was any relationship between the earthquake and the eclipse. And that was all I needed to know about your scientific knowledge.
Very legit question.
No.
Maybe the contacts question was a little out there.
About whether your contacts could prevent you from getting eye damage by looking directly at the sun?
A little less of the damage to the eyes if I looked at the sun.
You could have taken the Trump approach. Remember that from a few years ago? Everyone's like, don't look at the sun. During the eclipse, he walks right out on the balcony at the White House and looks directly at the sun. We love that sun. We've got magic eyes. Many people are saying my eyes are magic. So you were on vacation.
Yes, we didn't go anywhere, but Megan was off for Easter week.
Oh, you did a staycation?
Yeah, because Megan, she's in Catholic school, so she gets the week before Easter, the week after Easter off. So Bobby has to take the first week. I take the second week.
They get 2 weeks for Easter?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Pretty much for Christmas, too.
So you didn't get to go anywhere? It was, oh, that's kind of...
I mean, we went to the movies. We went to the mall. You know, like that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You went to the Hibachi Grill, I heard. We'll get to
it
that.
It was Megan's birthday this week, so we... my house came down with a stomach flu. That's always fun. You know.
The people in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Megan turned 11?
Megan turned 11.
Did you have the conversation about the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny yet, or...
No.
No.
No,
okay.
And Bunny came.
Well...
And she did not... The thing that we didn't do is the bunny only brought a basket. We did not
go overboard.
Do the oh no, we
no desk.
She got a desk.
She asked for the desk and she got it.
So she.
When did the Easter Bunny also become Santa? Where you get to ask for big ticket items? That's not. Did anyone else have this? My fellow Christian celebrants, like we would get a little bit of chocolate, and that's it.
She doesn't eat chocolate.
Okay, some other candy, jelly beans.
Oh, she did. She got all of that.
Not a desk.
Clothes. She needed clothing.
Clothes?
Yeah. She needs spring clothes, spring and summer. The bunny always brings a bathing suit and a cover-up and flip-flops.
Good save there, by the way. I always bring, I mean, the bunny always brings. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little note from the bunny whose handwriting is exactly mom's by any chance?
Well, not exactly, because the bunny seems to be a lefty.
Oh, okay. With bad handwriting?
With terrible handwriting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to get Cat Timp on that assignment because it's age 11 is it's too much. Okay, so you did have a protective mother moment.
Oh, did
an
I?
Overprotective mother
oh,
moment.
Like Okay.
During the earthquake.
So, you know how I...
Because, by the way, can I just say, it was in New Jersey, Epicenter's Jersey. Through context clues, I had figured out that your vacation slash assignment was just in Jersey, not going somewhere. I said, Christine almost certainly felt this, and Christine might be the only casualty from the earthquake because of her overreaction. I said, she is going to have absolutely panicked. Was I right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean... And we were so close. We were in Wachong, which I think was maybe only 25 miles, 25 minutes from the epicenter. So we were shopping and we were in a Kohl's, but in a Sephora, in a Kohl's. And it's 10:20. We're walking around. And I say to Megan, okay, stay over here. Look at the perfumes. Mommy's just going to go look at clothes really quick and I'll come right back. So I wanted to give her a little, Bobby has talked to me about trying to give her a little bit of freedom because I'm.
A little more space.
Yes, just a little bit.
Mm.
Well, all of a sudden.
By the way, I think there's a few other people who would sign up for a little more space from producer Christine.
Who? Name them.
Justin, Dylan, Dan, even Max. Some people are saying me. I'm not my words.
Justin.
Last week, I thought we really connected, me, Dylan, and Guy last week.
But you missed me, obviously.
You came in. I gave you a big hug. Of course I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go. I don't like your answer, actually. We'll have to address this after.
Can I tell you, just to quickly divert, I was on Jesse Waters' show, primetime, on Friday night. I won a hat, the sink or swim hat.
I saw.
Because I won the trivia contest.
I watched.
So I was very pleased with that. I was up against an undefeated combatant. And beat her. So I was very happy. As we all know, our dear longtime friend Maxie, now as a booker on that show, he booked me for that segment. Not only did he come to say hello in the green room before and after the segment, he brought a baby gift. A stuffed hippopotamus for Conrad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that Maxie.
I know. And he said he had just been chatting with Dan earlier. I'm like, it's the Guy Benson coaching tree.
Well, you know what's so funny? I haven't seen Max in months. This morning as I'm coming in and I'm going up the escalator, there comes Max going down and we just like crossed paths. And I'm like, Max, it was like a rom-com. We were like leaning over to say hello.
Oh, I was expecting that he just averted his eyes. It's like, who's that? I was like, who is that woman? He's like, I don't know.
Do you remember when I would like storm down the hall screaming and he would just, Justin, so Max was our engineer before Dan and I, his name is Max, but I decided to call him Maxie and made everybody on this floor call him Maxie. And I would march down the hallway screaming Maxie and you would just hear the door close like really quietly.
Yeah, imagine that. He left the show. How could that have ever happened? How could we have lost Maxie? I think we have an answer. Okay, so you're in Sephora in Kohl's, so we have to bring this back on the rails. There's limited time.
Yes, yes, yes. And that ground under me just started shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Started shaking. Now, I knew there was construction going on next to the Kohl's, so I thought something had exploded. But I really didn't know what was going on, but it kept going. It was a while. Like, it didn't just stop after. People were like, oh, only 10 seconds. No, it felt a lot longer. And then I just start screaming for Megan. I mean, Megan was like, Mom, it was so... We had just had this talk because her and I were in Target 2 days before that. And I told her to put something back, but then she didn't come to me quickly enough. And then I did a, you know, screaming thinking she was gone. I couldn't find her for maybe 30 seconds. And she's like, Mom, I was saying I'm here, I'm coming, but I'm not going to scream like you are. And you have to stop yelling.
Yeah, she's right.
So then I decide to give her this space, but realize quickly I needed to. So I'm like, Megan. And she's like, I'm here. And then it was almost like I almost just dove right over her because I'm like, I will save her because I didn't know if the building
was. From
what? I thought the building was coming down.
From that?
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a few seconds to realize it was
an
earthquake.
How long did the earthquake last? It was like 7 seconds.
No, I swear it was like 20.
Max.
Yeah.
I felt like it was maybe 10 seconds.
And then you could see all the moms looking at each other. And one of the moms was on a phone with another friend and she goes, earthquake. She's like, my friend's at the other mall and they felt it too. And I was like, oh my gosh. Then I became that Jersey mom who called everybody in the world.
Of course.
Like, I was... Did you feel it? My mother-in-law in Massachusetts...
Did you call Wyatt? Since we have to mention everyone who's ever worked on this show... I feel like you would immediately call Wyatt.
I texted him and told him the whole story, you know, and then I had my story, and then I thought the building was coming down. I didn't know what was happening. I mean... Megan said that's all she really remembers when she told Bobby the story. She goes, all she did was keep calling and calling people. Did you feel it? Did you feel? Oh, I know. Like, and then she did a whole routine. She imitates me.
Okay, so we're almost out of time here. That all checks out. I believe every word of that story. That is very on brand for Cookie.
I need to fix that, though, because I did not teach Megan any skill set in an emergency.
No, you panic and lose your head every time. Big or small, the emergency, Christine, so just loses it.
I know you're not going to want to hear this.
Oh, gosh.
I really do think it has to be from a past life. There has to, like, whatever.
Nope.
No, I know, but I've been doing a lot of research.
No.
There's
no research into that.
Yeah, I've been looking at old clips of Sylvia Brown. Remember her?
No, I don't.
Oh.
It was an eminent scholar, Sylvia Brown.
She predicted the pandemic. And I know you're not going to believe me, but it's in her book. She used to go on Montel Williams all the time.
Is this a psychic?
Yeah, she's passed, but yes.
So the psychic wrote in her book.
Like a famous psychic.
Okay. She wrote in her book that she predicted the pandemic?
No. She was dead by the pandemic. She had predicted it in her book.
That a once-in-a-generation pandemic happened?
Around 2020. In her book, it says in and around 2020, there will be...
Kind of how it goes, like every 100 years or so.
No, this I'm gonna send you the paragraph. But so I've been thinking a lot about past lives. I know. And I was thinking, I'm like, I wonder if this.
You really wanted to come back to the show with a bang, didn't you?
I wonder if this panic inside of me, because it's like deep inside, something must have happened in a past life. Like something terrible must have happened. So I need to get to another psychic to find out what happened to me.
Nope. Do not spend that money. Do not throw that money away. You've wasted more than enough money on Olivia Rodrigo fake tickets and beyond.
How dare you?
We don't even have time for the hibachi story. So let's hold on to that one. Let's just tease this. I'll say this. I think a lot of you can be explained by the person featured at the hibachi grill. I think it's not a past life, it's current life, right? It's nature, somewhat, nurture, definitely. So regular listeners probably know who I'm talking about. It's a story that we're going to get to. Last question very quickly. You're on vacation, you're on staycation for the whole week.
Yeah.
Did you take a break from Peloton or did you keep it rolling?
I didn't do it every day, but I did it 2 times, I think. And then I did it this morning. I keep going back and forth. Today I've decided... Cody's my guy. Like, Cody's my person. I just love how he talks to you. And he just, you know, today he was talking about gin. Like, he's talking alcohol. It's like my kind of guy.
Yes, entertaining. But I told you Jen Sherman.
I like her.
Right?
She's spicy.
She's spicy. She's Jersey.
She looks like someone I would have went to school with.
She's you. She's in her early 50s, though. So I think she's
older than me.
I don't know. I haven't seen birth certificates.
Guy, I'm only 42. She's a lot older.
Allegedly. Because we know the whole thing with the Soviets. I mean, this is another... We have no time to go down your Soviet spy
route.
We have
an intern here, and she's probably like, what is happening? Yeah, she's supposed to be watching me.
She's gone
tomorrow.
She's
supposed to be training, watching me.
Oh, you're the professional that she's shadowing.
Yes, she's supposed to be shadowing me.
Oh, good luck in this business, young lady. Good luck. Welcome. Welcome to the program. We got to go. It's the Guy Benson Show. Back here tomorrow... from D.C., God willing, back home. Looking forward to that. Same time, same place, though, on the radio. We'll talk to you then.
Homestretch, Guy Benson Show, Tuesday edition. Thanks for tuning in. Podcast is free, on demand, every day, GuyBensonShow.com. So we had the triumphant return of Cookie to the show yesterday. She was out there doing Eclipse Watch for us. Then, really, just an instant classic of a home stretch. That one went mostly off the rails very quickly. We had an intern in the studio who was looking around like, what have I gotten myself into? It's a good question for her. But one of the things that we didn't quite flesh out was this vague reference to something of a confrontation at a hibachi grill involving Judgy Joyce, Christine's mother, and separately but relatedly, Christine was saying that she believes that in her previous lives, she must have endured some sort of trauma that makes her irrational, and many people are saying crazy, especially under any sort of stress. And my argument was maybe we shouldn't look to previous lives, not something that I believe in. I think Christine might want to have a chat with her priest at her Catholic church on what their doctrine is on that question. Just a suggestion. We could just look at Christine's own current lifetime. And I think one of the explanatory factors here, a big one, might be the influence of Judgy Joyce. We were treated recently to a story about Judgy Joyce having quite a blow up at a little tangle over a stop sign, and the police came and she was shouting at the cop, if I recall correctly. Well, it seems like this Frank Costanza level temperament spilled over as well at a recent family dinner at a hibachi grill. And my very first question, Christine, is why were you out to dinner at a hibachi grill? Am I not mistaken that Bobby is a hibachi chef, your husband? Doesn't he do this stuff himself?
He sure does. We call it hibachi.
Hibachi, that's right. And you were very proud of that.
He was great.
So why are you going to pay other people for the hibachi skills that you have right under your own roof?
Well, the stovetop grill that we had in the on Eyesore Lane, we wound up giving it to the new homeowners because we were moving into an apartment and we weren't allowed to bring it.
Oh, so the whole setup.
So there's no
remains.
Yeah, we need the achi part of hibachi.
Yeah, you only have Bob. You only have hibab.
Yeah,
and you have no. And I got it.
Yeah. So Bob, turn the radio off right now. I think that's going to be his Father's Day present. I can name some brands if they want to sponsor us for Father's Day.
Well, I wouldn't name the brands. I would just throw that out there and see if any of the brands contact you.
At Cookies Jar, 1988.
At Cookies Jar, 1988. If the brands, the hibachi brands, want to contact Cookie, they can do so on Twitter/X. All right, so that explanation makes sense. You guys had a hankering for not just the meal, but the show of hibachi. You've got the old trick with the onion that becomes a volcano. You've got the whole flipping around little pieces of beef and shrimp into the hat of the chef or even directly into the mouth of the diner, although that always worries me about a choking hazard. But it's all in good fun until it isn't. So the family is gathered around the old grill, and you've got the guy doing all the tapping, all the sounds with the knives and the spatulas and all of that and the sizzle. And then things went south.
Right. So Bobby was down with the stomach flu. So unfortunately, on Megan's birthday, he couldn't even come to the dinner.
Oh, no Bob at hibachi at all.
No. So it was little Megan, Cookie, and Judgy Joyce. And sometimes she's not always the nicest at dining establishments if she doesn't have it her way. Actually, she yelled at a person in Burger King and mortified Megan because I guess she didn't get her sweet and sour sauce quick enough. And Megan was like, Mom, I can't go with her anymore because she just yells at people.
Well, I mean, in fairness, the actual slogan at Burger King is have it your way.
Oh, right, that's true.
So I feel like if Joyce is going to jump down someone's throat and be judgy, wanting it her exact way, it would be at the place where the slogan for decades has been that she can. All right, so maybe she expands that lesson and applies it out too broadly within the, I don't know, the hospitality industry. And what was the source of her frustration this time?
So the guy was doing all of his tricks. He also, don't forget, he makes the snowman with the white rice.
I haven't had the snowman.
Oh, yeah, and then he sings, "Do you want to build a snowman?" This guy, he was great. My favorite, I couldn't partake because I was driving since Bobby wasn't with me, but he has like a little squeeze bottle and in it is sake. And he squeezes it into your mouth and you can like raise your hand and ask for more.
Oh, I'm amazed that you were able to turn that down.
Yes, no drinking. So he's going around the table and he's doing his little tricks. And then he decides he's taking, you know, cut up vegetables, very tiny ones, and he's throwing it. So he throws it to Megan's friend. He throws it to Megan. He throws it to me. And
is he like throwing it into your mouth?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to say this. I'm usually on the first try, too. I'm pretty good. Megan and her friend, they just stunk at it. So then we get to...
I love just the gratuitous shot at the children.
Take that, kids.
They just... Yeah, for not catching the carrot on the first try.
No, the first try, they couldn't catch it on the second try, the third try. It never happened. They didn't catch it. So anyway. Oh,
so
no.
Judgy Joyce
Am I
is probably,
Judgy Cookie?
Yeah, you are. I mean, you are Judgy's daughter. The apple has fallen directly underneath the tree.
Well, the whole time, my mom's like waving her arm saying, no, no, no. I guess that meant she didn't want it, but she wasn't really saying that. She's just like waving her arms.
Yeah, use your words.
Right. Well, the guy chucks it, you know, not chucks it, but throws it up to catch. And it hits my mom in the face. And then he goes again, hits my mom in like the nose. And then by the third time, she just grabs it in her hand, looks at it, picks it up, chucks it right back at him, like at his face.
She threw the food.
Threw the food right at him.
At the cook.
She was so angry. She's like, I told you no.
Now, did he catch it in his mouth?
He did not. He
wow.
was. It kind of like went it kind of went quiet for a second. And then the other people, because you know you're with other families.
Right. It's not just private.
No. And Megan was like, oh my gosh. And then he kept going around the table and we all just sat there. I'm like, Mom, you shouldn't have done that.
So there was a record scratch where everyone's just like, oh, we found the skunk at the garden party.
Yeah. And it's like, you know what happens at
and what did she say? Did she feel... Yeah, it's like, you know what you're signing up for. This is not her first hibachi rodeo?
No. No. No.
So was she at all, I don't know, regretful of this? Did she...
No, she lives her life with no regrets. No apologies, no regrets. She is who she is. And it's just, as my therapist has once said, you ain't going to change her at this age. So you just got to deal. And that's when
does she say that about you or about your mother?
Oh, my. No. I can
or both.
I can
or
change
both.
By, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm maturing.
Cookie's real, really adaptive. That's what I think of with Cookie. Okay, so there's no contrition from Joyce. She has just thrown food back at the hibachi chef. Do you guys just sort of awkwardly finish your meal and shuffle out of there? Like, how do you come back from that?
Well, we all kind of get quiet, and then you would think she would maybe break the ice with something light. It is Megan's birthday, but no, she goes right into, you know, how my great aunt's in the hospital dying and needs all these surgeries, and there's a cancer and this, then that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Mom, this is a birthday celebration.
It's
We're
like
not celebrating.
Rachel Dratch's character, Debbie Downer.
Yes, that's exactly... Yes, me and Bobby say that all the time. She's Debbie Downer.
Okay, so all of this being said...
She's going to kill me.
Do you maybe understand why you don't have to call back to previous lives that you claim you have to maybe explain some of the ways you are?
Oh, is that what you meant yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, you're saying that my anxiety and like the way I'm like kind of a little cray-cray...
Let's say, yeah, you're... eccentricities. Let's be nice.
But she doesn't have that. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't have that hysterical.
No, but I think, correct, you haven't inherited it from her. It has manifested because of her.
Huh. I think we would have to talk to somebody else about that.
A professional, perhaps?
Yeah,
not a psychic?
Well, listen.
No, that's not a psychic thing. Actual therapist thing.
It's been years now of me trying to push psychic, and it's not a joke. This isn't like
But the psychic would not be, that's not even in the realm of things that psychics make up. Therapy is what you need.
I've been doing it for years.
And no one has ever told you that perhaps some of these issues derive from a root cause known as Judgy Joyce? That's never come up? How much are you paying these people?
Well,
it's like the most obvious thing ever. As your unlicensed, uncompensated therapist to me over many years, we have a clear, I'm not going to call her a culprit because I think in many ways I side with her in some of these battles that you guys have. But I mean, let's be honest.
So you're saying her actions are a direct correlation to my psycho craziness. We won't say psycho, right, Justin? I'm not like psycho
feels a bit harsh.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, he's new.
Slightly.
He's new. So, but
oh,
yes.
Oh, boy.
The answer is yes. Now, before we go, because yesterday you were all over the place in the home stretch, you also were trying to tell us earlier in the show that you were convinced that the eclipse, the predicted forever eclipse, was somehow caused by or related to the earthquake or vice versa, which is just not how science works at all. Your mother-in-law, so Hababshi's mother, was listening to the home stretch yesterday, and she weighed in on this.
Hi, Kathy. The exact text was, just listen to all of that. You're a nut job.
And how do you respond to that from your mother-in-law?
I mean, I am your granddaughter's mother.
Does that concern her?
How does that feel? No, she does drink a lot of wine when she comes to our house when she visits.
Okay. So I guess she's...
Maybe she's worried.
She's like, you're her little nut job. Like, she likes it. She's a fan.
All right, I'll take that. I will.
Okay.
I do wonder around here. You know, I was talking to Justin today about a couple emails I sent down, and a lot. I feel like this week alone, a lot. Maybe we could do another home stretch. I feel like people are not reading my emails correctly, and it's happening a lot. Hmm. And like Justin's like, well, you know, sometimes maybe you look at yourself when more than one time it happens. But I looked at Justin, and I'm like, am I just the girl that can't find the sun to you all? Is that all I am?
It seems like there is a recent Taylor Swift lyric that we have applied to you before that might once again crop up in this context when you are trying to identify the source of a problem and at some point you realize the source of the problem and you just own up to it and you realize who it is.
Well, I do that. I have learned that from therapy.
And so what would you sing, for example, as you look at all of these issues in your life?
It's me.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm the problem. It's me.
There we go.
Are we done for today?
We are, but I'm just going to say one thing. I'm going to leave you in an unexpected way.
But I have to talk about the new hot priest. You told me to.
I did not. I am hearing about the new hot priest for the first time right now. Let's put that on the back burner of the Hababshi grill, and we can return to Hot Priest. This is Hot Priest 2.0? This
yes!
is not the same guy?
Yes!
It's
and,
another
and
one?
And the first one's there now, too.
Oh, there's both
I forgot
of them.
To tell you that during, remember Megan's Passion, her
yeah,
Easter?
Yeah, I do. And I was just recommending that you go to Mass more often.
I know!
Based on your, I think, misunderstanding of Catholic doctrine with the whole previous lives thing, now you have two more reasons, apparently, to go to church more often. The last thing I'm going to say, Christine, is on the emails, the one email that I know you're referencing, at least one of them, I'm with you. I think that was a clear email and the other person read it wrong. You were not the problem in that one specific case, but you almost always are. Out of time on the Guy Benson Show. Back here tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll talk to you then. Home stretch on the Guy Benson Show. GuyBensonShow.com. Podcast always free. Before we get to our topic, if you want to even call it that, what a tease that was before the break. I just want to take this moment of personal privilege to thank some people. Because today, Talkers Magazine, which follows our industry, came out with its annual Heavy 100 list. So the top 100 radio hosts in America. Now, back when this little show got started a number of years ago now, we were not on the list, fair enough. And then eventually we cracked into the top 100 at, I believe, number 99. So we just barely made the Heavy 100. And then last year we were up to number 86 on the list, which was a great honor. And the 2024 numbers just came out. And we are now at 74. So a big jump there. And I am just grateful, first to Michael Harrison, who puts this together. Of course, he is the face, the voice, the essence of Talkers. And just the gratitude is immense to be included on this list at all. To be moving on up feels great. And it just drives even deeper and stirs my appreciation for our great affiliates all across the country. If you want to become one, if you're listening, if you're running a radio station or you want to maybe put a good word in for us, please feel free to do so. We love growing. We want to keep growing. But our existing affiliates, which is a growing radio family, we are so thankful. And then ultimately, we are particularly thankful to this loyal audience, to all of you. If you didn't exist, the show would not exist. This list would not exist, and we certainly would not be on it. So we are hoping to continue to make progress, making our way up the heavy 100. That's the goal. Would love to do it. And we can't do it without your help. So thank you for this. It's very satisfying and gratifying for all of us here. I'm very proud of our team. We are a lean, mean group. Just the four of us. Myself, producer Christine, Dylan, and now Justin has joined. And, of course, a tip of the cap to Wyatt and Dan and Max and others who have been part of this growth through the years as well. So I'll stop the bragging. It's really more of an appreciation statement to you and to my team. So congratulations, and let's keep this rolling. Let's keep growing together. Now, perhaps one of the reasons that we are not higher on the list, frankly, is segments like this one. The home stretch, I think, is holding us back because maybe the judges or the people who make these distinctions, they'll listen to 2+ hours of the show and say, well, this is good stuff. Thoughtful, informative, occasionally entertaining, good guests. And then there's the home stretch. And today's topic on the home stretch is not going to help. We're going to fall on this list, I think, next year. Let's keep this segment maybe away from the folks at Talkers Magazine. Hot priests. Producer Christine brought up hot priests during this segment yesterday. The last couple days of home stretches have been really memorable because Christine keeps seeding a new story into the nonsense that she's telling us on the current topic, and then we can't just let that slide. We can't not mention the hibachi grill, for example, which we got to yesterday. Apparently, Christine was slightly chastised by Bobby. Too mean to her mom. That was his feedback to her about yesterday's home stretch. And now we're going to talk about, I guess, these attractive priests at Christine's, is it her parish or her daughter's school or both? There was one guy we had already heard about last year, and Christine suddenly wanted to volunteer more in the Catholic world because of the priest. And now there's another one, and we're told he is younger and perhaps even better looking. Christine, you brought up plural hot priests yesterday. We were almost done with the show. So, against my better judgment, here we go. What's going on?
Well, I just have to say, you and I actually agree on something for once. We are never making it up this list. We are never getting a better position if we keep talking about Judgy Joys and hot priests. Putting it out there.
Well, but we're already into it.
I know.
We talked about it yesterday. You brought it up. I was curious. And when we promised the people, because the list matters, but what matters is keeping our word to the people. And the people who do listen not only to the home stretch every day, but Bonus Benson on the weekends, they want to know. Inquiring minds must know, why is Christine maybe suddenly taking a second look at spending more time with God, so to speak?
Well, she probably needs it. But there are some mighty good-looking priests out there these days. I was just telling Justin, nice, clean cut, just very kind of like I've noticed this like Jake Gyllenhaal pattern. They all kind of look alike. And we are so lucky at our church because we already had a new hot priest come, remember, last fall. And that's why, remember, I worked at the carnival for like 5 days instead
of
the...
Yeah, they made you a carnival barker because you're trying to bark at this guy.
Yeah, remember I was doing the frog jump thing?
Game? I remember.
Frog bog?
Yep.
Justin is looking at me
so
right
you're
now.
You're a carny. You're really a carny.
I wouldn't call myself a carnival.
Small hands. Smells like cabbage.
I don't even know what that means.
I believe that's an Austin Powers reference.
Oh, that the Bond guy. That's what the Bond movies are made off. Remember I learned that here?
Yes, you did not know that Austin Powers was a spoof of the James Bond genre until we informed you of that here on the home stretch. See, it is educational from time to time. Yes, that's satire, that whole string of movies. But focus, Christine.
Okay, focus.
So you were doing the frog bog or whatever, yes, because the first priest you thought was handsome, and now you're like,
well,
moving on to the next guy?
I'm not the only one. Like, a lot of the moms, a lot of my friends, like, we call each other the wine moms. A lot of the moms are agreeing with me. Now, flash forward to, right before Easter. Megan has they call it the passion. I called it a pageant, but Bobby's like, no, it's not a pageant, Christine. Like, Megan was reading as Jesus. It was a very big deal in our home. She's a very, very lovely reader. And as they were all walking down the aisle to, you know, get seated and get ready to read, I noticed, you know, hot priest number one walking down. I was like, oh, yeah, hi, I remember him, you know. And then all of a sudden, there is another hot priest following him immediately, and he is a lot younger. And
number one, how old is he, ballpark?
Which one, number one or two?
Number one.
I would say late 40s, early 50s.
Okay, so kind of a contemporary of yours. And then the next one is significantly younger, like Dylan younger or what?
Yeah, I mean, he looks, I would say Dylan younger, maybe a little bit older. Dylan, how old?
In his 20s?
Yeah, Dylan, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Dylan, do you feel comfortable with this conversation?
Now that the age of the second priest has entered the conversation, it's a game changer for me.
I don't feel comfortable with this at all. Poor Justin just started, and Christine, you were telling him about this earlier?
Yeah, I'm
how did this come up?
You're just petrified. Hot priest, like I heard about it all week, and she gets upset when we, you know, we're doing a whole segment on hot priest. She had every opportunity to not mention hot priest at the end of yesterday's show.
This is like when she pretends that she doesn't want people to see photos of her in the hot dog costume, the bet that she quote-unquote lost. I think she won that bet and got to wear the costume. Because she's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Here I am. Look at this. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Have you seen this? I think that's the same thing. She's like, oh, I don't want to talk about hot priests. That is just untoward. And clutching her non-existent pearls. But then she mentions it enough where, no, she wants to talk about the hot priests. And I wonder if you got a reprimand after yesterday's home stretch, Christine, from Bobby, your husband, how's he going to react to this one? Is he aware of your interest in these men of the cloth?
Well, he did tell me he's not entertaining this because as number two was walking down the aisle, my mom is on one side of me, Bob is on the other. I like glare right at Bobby, and he knew exactly what I was thinking. He wouldn't make eye contact with me. He just put his head down and he started shaking his head like, no.
He shook his head. He knew.
No.
Did Joyce have any commentary? Did she not notice?
No, she was stating to us, as the kids are reading, which kids can't read very well, and what a star Megan is, and she should have read every part.
Okay, so she was judging the children, which is, on brand. So now I wonder, like, what's your scheme going to be to get to know this new priest better? Because you've been talking a lot about reading and how good Megan is. Are you going to start, like, a literacy program through the church, but specifically one priest only? It's the only one you'll work with for the children?
You think I should start a literacy program?
Well, probably not. I mean, you are literate, right? I mean, you went to college.
Kai, I'm your producer.
I know, but you just made the implication that you shouldn't start a literacy program. I'm just defending you.
Oh, well, I guess.
I'm saying you are literate. Many people might wonder, I'm defending you. Yes, Christine is literate.
I am literate. I might.
That is step one to start a literacy program, is being literate. Step two is finding someone to start it with, and it sounds like you may have found him. Christine, do you have photos of these people? Like, do you snap little photos on your phone? Are they on the church website? Because you keep talking them up. Are you going to, like, show us? Are you going to text the group, or just we're going to take your word for it?
Not of number two. One, my friend has taken some pictures of number one at the carnival, but he
your
didn't.
Your friend, wink?
But he didn't know he was being, they were taking pictures of him.
They were candids, okay. They were candid photos of a priest in action. Does any part of you feel a little bit weird sort of driving this conversation around the priests at your church, and this is the topic?
Well,
their physical appearance?
This isn't, I wish I could say this was my first rodeo into this area of hot priests, but it's not. I can Can I even say who I pined after for many of years?
Oh, I'm guessing. Was it our on-air priest here at Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, who's now
not
out of the priesthood.
He's not a priest.
Yeah, he married a lady, and they've got a family together now. So I guess now you can confess your unrequited love for, was it Father Jonathan?
Jonathan Morris.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of confession, when did you last go do a confession in the Catholic Church?
How old are you when you make your confirmation?
I think it's 13. Is
well,
that right?
There you go.
That was your last one?
What? Do you go to confession all the time?
I'm not Catholic. We don't have it.
Well, I mean, what am I really?
You're Catholic.
Yeah.
Maggie it sounds goes, like the problem would be you would show up at confession and have to confess to the priest, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Oh, really? About what? Well, I can't really tell you. When did you sin? Right now. Why? No comment. You'd have to find a different priest, Christine.
Imagine I go, forgive me, heavenly hot father. Here are
well,
my
heavenly
sins.
Father is God, Christine.
Oh.
Heavenly Father
well,
is God.
He could be good looking too. You don't know. Okay, we're gonna end this right now because it's not going great. Yes, I have concerns. Yes, I do.
Yes, you have concerns
about a lot of things.
Now that the segment is over, basically, you are looking back and wondering, was this a good idea?
100%.
Yeah, I'm also wondering that. On your behalf, maybe we'll get some feedback. We can get some feedback from your husband, from your mom, see how all of that goes. Maybe you can report back tomorrow. We've got so much to get to on the program. Meantime, I have to go do special report where we will not be discussing anything like this. We are getting serious on the TV side with Brett Baier and his team coming up in the next hour. Back here on the radio tomorrow, same time, same place. Go to church, Christine. Not for them. We'll see you tomorrow.
I am literate.
Home stretch, Guy Benson Show, Friday Eve. GuyBensonShow.com, podcast always free and always on demand. Well, during our interview with Howie Kurtz, we talked a bit about O.J. Simpson passing away. His family said that he had cancer and succumbed to that terrible disease at the age of 76. He was, of course, a huge football star in college and then in the pros. That's probably not what he is most famous for, however. Although you wouldn't know it from NPR. Here was their tweet about his death. Breaking news, the football great Orenthal James Simpson, known as O.J., has died. That's it from NPR. They're having quite a week over at National Public Radio, funded by taxpayers. I wonder how many of them in that hive mind think that he was innocent or think that the jury was right to acquit him even though he was guilty for reasons of equity. I know that one of the jurors in a subsequent interview had indicated that part of this was sort of racially motivated revenge for police, law enforcement excesses like Rodney King in the past, like getting even, letting what many people see as a clearly guilty man walk free because of those societal pressures and those racial tensions. So this man, O.J. Simpson, was charged and prosecuted for murdering two people, his estranged wife and her lover, a waiter that she knew. And his blood was all over the scene. I mean, dead to rights. But he hired a dream team, they called it, of lawyers, and they used every trick in the book, very much including a bunch of race baiting, to get an acquittal. It was a shocker to many people, and reaction to the verdict was, in many cases, split along racial lines. But I think if you just look at the actual evidence, it is crystal clear that this man was a double murderer who got away with it. He ended up having civil judgments against him and was later convicted of completely different crimes and went to prison. But he is not a sympathetic figure at all in my mind. I am sorry for those who are grieving him. I hope he got right in his life with the man upstairs before passing. But I don't really feel a need to venerate O.J. Simpson and talk about how sad his death is, even though the cause of death, according to his family, is one that many people can relate to and is very terrible. Now, they say it was cancer,
I think there are some people out there who are going to spend the rest of their lives, however, looking for the true killer, just like OJ. And, of course, whenever a celebrity dies, you get some of these ghouls flooding into the comments on social media wondering if maybe he got the jab right before he died, right? The COVID vaccine folks who are obsessed with that, no matter why someone has died. And in this case, we know for a fact that O.J. Simpson was the one who allegedly did the jabbing, right? So I don't think it was that. This whole situation and the passing of O.J. Simpson does give us the opportunity, though, to go down memory lane and celebrate the humor of one of my favorite comedians ever, Norm MacDonald, who for a long time was the host of Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. Norm himself died of cancer several years ago, and he was just a dog with a bone on the O.J. Simpson story. Rumor has it that's part of the reason why he eventually got axed from SNL. But he made for weeks just one joke after another targeting O.J., the punchline being his obvious guilt. And there's a montage out there floating around. I retweeted it today. There are some A-plus jokes that I want to use this occasion to play in honor of Norm, starting with cut 38.
It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him. O.J. Simpson's lawyers have decided to skip hearings on DNA evidence and go right to trial. Asked why they did this, the lawyers replied, "We want to get O.J. acquitted as speedily as possible so he can get back to doing what he does best, killing people." Well, let's get to O.J. O.J. Simpson's lawyers say they don't want the families of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman in the courtroom during the trial. They're afraid the presence of the family members will just remind O.J. of how much more killing he still has to do.
Brutal. Here's cut 36, another one.
In his book, O.J. Simpson says that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is some bad luck when the one guy who would have died for you kills you. That's probably... You don't get worse luck than that.
Cut 39 real quick.
It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, "Hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know."
And finally, famously, after the shocking acquittal, Norm had this one, iconic, cut 37.
Well, it is finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California.
Back here tomorrow for the Friday edition of The Guy Benson Show. We will talk to you then. Thank you for listening. Home stretch, Guy Benson Show. Happy Friday. GuyBensonShow.com. Podcast is free every day. So I am basically squeezed here. As soon as we're done in a few minutes, I've got to scramble and get the house ready with Adam because we have a little shindig, a little get-together, a little dinner party this evening. And Cookie is a little bit out of shape, apparently, that she was not on the invite list. Christine, do you have some grievances to air?
I sure do. I mean, it's just exactly what you said. Where was my invitation? You said this was a Fox dinner party. I am your producer. Why was I not on the invite list?
I mean, all sorts of reasons, but the primary reason that I'll say out loud is it is a Fox dinner party, so it's our colleagues, okay. But it's also a D.C.-based crowd, people who are in the D.C. bureau, and it is an on-air talent event for the most part, and so there's just a few factors here that aren't compatible with you being invited. It's a very intimate gathering.
I am on air right now, and I am talent.
Well, I think our bosses, in terms of contracts, might dispute that term just purely from a contractual standpoint. I think you are definitely an on-air contributor to the show, but you are not DC-based. Will you concede that point?
I will concede that point, but let me ask you something. Now, it's only been almost 19 years since I started. I assume eventually the higher-ups will see my star potential. I'm just waiting.
Is that a question? Am I supposed to agree with you?
This is what I told young Dylan before. Don't give up on your dreams. I'm 19 years and counting. Uh-huh. Eventually, they're going to be like, whoa, how did we not we hear her, we see her. How do we not put this girl on TV? Mm. When that happens, will I be invited? Will I get a seat at the dinner table?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out where you fit in here. Are you just going to maybe show up down in D.C. and go looking for Laura Ingraham and be like, hey, Laura, you know what? I think it's time to step aside. I think the Ingraham angle, it's been a good run, but it's time for the cookie crumbles. See how that goes.
Well, I mean, I don't think – listen, you don't just get your show right away, right? I can wait my turn, but, like, at least let's just get me – why can't I be, like, a correspondent on air for Laura? You know, like how Jesse was to Bill O'Reilly?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I do that?
You can try. I mean, we had you as our Eclipse Watch correspondent.
And?
You couldn't find the eclipse and almost got hit by a bus.
That's a different – that was a very specific thing you asked me to do. And I can't help it if buildings – if I can't help it if I couldn't find the sun. Like, what – are you
That's
saying
a good
that,
one.
Like – are you saying that if they told me to go do an assignment and I said, sorry, I couldn't find that person or I couldn't find whatever you were looking for, that they won't be happy?
Yeah, remember back in the day with O'Reilly, Jesse would go to people's houses, right, to confront them on something outside their apartment building or whatever. If you're like, oh, I couldn't find it, or like I got distracted, or I couldn't figure out how to work the GPS machine to get to the actual address, I think it would be a short-lived on-air talent experience for Cookie. I think you've maybe found your wheelhouse right here. And let me just say this. This might make you feel better. It might not.
Okay.
Someone who is also not invited is, as you described him, young Dylan, who we like very much, who is D.C.-based, but because it's a limited number of people and it's on-air folks, we didn't invite him, even though I would much prefer, many people are saying, to have him at the dinner table with his lovely wife, who I haven't met yet, then other extraneous guests who shall not be named.
Okay, so I understand sometimes Bobby can be much. I didn't say we had to bring him.
Okay, that's good. That's
Although
very good.
Although he's the person you want with me because he kind of he knows when it's time to call it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's also because we are serving some red wine tonight, and we know what happens with red wine and you at our house. It's just sloshing all over the place. It's on floors. It's on people. It's allegedly on couches. And I'm worried all of a sudden we're going to be like, wait, where's Christine? All of a sudden I like bring up the nanny cam and you've sloshed your way into the nursery with a sleeping baby to sort of like ogle and cuddle Conrad. And then there's just giant red wine stains all over his crib.
What would you do if I just got up from the dinner table and I was going to the bathroom and then I like woke Conrad up and brought him down and be like, look who wants to say hello.
Like, Christine, what is all over his onesie? The thing is, I can sort of imagine that, which is, again, I think you're helping to explain some of the thought process here on the invite list.
Poor little Roy has some red wine stains on his tail.
Yeah, you haven't spilled on him yet. But if the Christmas party comes back this year, which we're, God willing, expecting to do, all bets are off. And this is the thing. Maybe, Christine, maybe rather than, and I will just note for the record, you've been to this house how many times?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 or 6
Yeah,
by now?
At this point. And you've also been invited to other things, and you haven't actually come. Once you agreed to come to a barbecue and bring Jell-O shots, and you did neither. No Jell-O shots, no cookie, just blew off the invite. I have been to your homestead, to Cookie Manor, how many times? It's a very round number.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, it's zero. And it's not because I've blown off invitations, it's because I've never even been invited. So I think it takes some real chutzpah, Cookie, to come on here and complain that you're not invited to an 8-person or 10-person dinner party when you've been here half a dozen times and never once reciprocated the invite, I think it speaks for itself, number one. And number two, perhaps you should channel your energies into planning the next great Benson retreat, because we haven't done a Guy Benson Show retreat since the Max Wyatt era. It's been a while.
I know. Are your parents ready for that again?
Oh, that's a good question. It might need to be somewhere else. They're probably listening. They might text me a yes or a no, a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But why don't you start doing some generic long-term planning for that, and then we can decide venue and date and whether Justin and or Dylan would even be willing to go on a weekend vacation, basically, a retreat with the two of us.
All right. All right, I can do that. And then we're just going to put it out there. I'm definitely on the Christmas list, right? There's no thought process.
We'll see about that. Why don't you focus on the Benson retreat? That's your assignment.
Okay.
So you are once again back on assignment. Producer Christine on assignment through the weekend. Have a great weekend, everyone. We will talk to you on Monday.
That was this week's edition of Bonus Benson. For more Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.